Chat, we're having you on today as our guest host, which is a made-up term because we're all just going to talk in equal parts.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with the term either. I haven't hosted a podcast in like six years.
Old would you have been when you hosted a podcast years ago?
I'm out of the podcast game at this point.
14-year-old chap, you're not 20. 14-year-old chap, 16-year-old chap. Hosting his own podcast. What would that have been about? What would 16-year-old chap have hosted a podcast about?
I don't know. Probably like Disney Racers or something stupid like that. Y'all know those little, like, they were like the Hot Wheels cars, but with like themed Disney, after Disney characters. Yeah. So that probably would have been 16-year-old chap's podcast, and it definitely would have been stupid.
Well, today we're going to not talk about that. I have no way to segue out of that at all.
We'll record another stupid podcast right here in the brand new recording studio of Jennings Hall.
Good one. It is brand new. I meant to do an introduction for that last time when we started our new season. But yeah, we can do it now.
Y'all do seasons like in semesters?
This is season two, episode two. We decided it would be cool and it would be fun. And like, we also had a new logo ready to go. We had a new list of guests ready to go. And it was a good time.
I used to do like full year-long seasons, but that's smart. You get more.
We have short little sweet seasons.
Yeah, that's sweet. That is sweet. I like it. This podcast is kind of timeless too. Like, you can go back and listen to it whenever, and it's not gonna.
That's true. We're already talking about. Write that down. Timeless. We're gonna talk about the Oscars today, and we're already like three weeks late on that. So we're definitely not on top of it time wise. Do we want to hit up the Oscars first or talk about? I feel like we're gonna spend more time on SCJC, so let's knock the Oscars out of the way.
All right, let's do that.
Starting with Jackson, talk about what you felt should have won.
All right, best movie 2019 by far, and it got nominated for stuff. It won a thing here or there. I don't even remember.
One costume design, I think.
Costume design. Jojo Rabbit. It was so good.
Do preface that you didn't see Parasite.
No, I didn't. I didn't see, you know, all the movies that were nominated for everything, but. Jojo Rabbit's instantly was top five movies of all time for me. Like, it blew me away in the theater. I saw it late. I saw it because the theater was doing a special, like, recap of all the Oscar nominees for the year. And Jojo Rabbit was one of them, kind of on a whim. Walked in there with one of my friends and walked out just streaming with tears. Like, I don't think I've ever cried like that in any movie, much less in the theater.
Wow.
In public. I was done for it.
Have we talked about on the podcast the last movie that I legitimately cried during?
Have we mentioned that? What is it? Maybe that's a...
Yeah, I feel like we should go around the room.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. I want to give my thoughts. One of the areas we disagreed on was the Oscars. I feel, because I haven't seen Parasite or Jojo Rabbit for that matter, that I won't sit here and say that the movies that I would have loved to have seen won are far and away better than the ones that I didn't see, because I didn't see them. And
I will do that.
And you sure can. But what I did see was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and while I did love that movie, I think I'm more attached to 1917, actually.
Probably put 1917 as number two. It was good too.
There were scenes in that film that really grabbed me emotionally, although albeit in a different way, not so much sad, just inspiring almost. Mm-hmm. Which sounds cliche with dealing with war, but I've seen a lot of war movies and I can't think of anything that tops 1917
for me. The parts in 1917 that stirred up the most emotions weren't necessarily the sad parts, and there are some sad parts, but it's the just grand, like, eye-catching, awesome scenes that just
It was less about visuals for me. Towards the end, the shot that you remember from the trailer and the mm-hmm. shot that serves as the climax of the film where he makes the final dash across, what stood out to me is that was a type of selfless act that less than 1% of the population would do in that situation. Yeah. Like, it's an act of selflessness that you can't even comprehend. And it's the kind of thing that it left me leaving the theater, not wanting to be assigned with a suicide mission or anything, but wanting to be in that scenario so that I could do that same kind of selfless act. It made
hoping
me want
that you would hope in that same way. That
and you know, it's easy to, you know, believe that you would, but you know, you don't unless you're in that situation. And so that movie is just one that I thought about for a while afterwards, and we haven't even mentioned with that one the techniques used in filming, and that it was done
as if it was all one.
Yes, obviously they didn't actually shoot the whole movie in one shot, as cool as that would have been, but there was only one cut in the entire film, which I'm really irritated that there was one cut in the entire film. Like, you've
just
gone
got
to you've gone to this effort, but no, that is that. Actually, no, that's not picky. It wasn't one shot; it was two shots. But still, amazing what they were able to accomplish.
And that kind of creative choice wasn't ever distracting from the actual story. If
no,
anything,
and I thought it would be. I thought
anything,
in the first,
it supplemented the story.
I thought in the first 10 or 15 minutes, I was like, "This is gonna get to like headache territory eventually," and it never did.
Yeah.
And I got to a point in the movie where I stopped thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's the most impressive thing when you can do a movie like that. The movie about Van Gogh that came out a few years ago with in like the style of his paintings, I thought would be the same thing, where you're just distracted by the style and the visuals and don't actually take in the story. But you do. You took in the story both in that and I assume in 1917, although I didn't see that movie.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I'll say, until I watched Jojo Rabbit, 1917 would have been the last movie I cried at in theaters, but it wasn't nearly as much as I was crying during Jojo Rabbit. But it got a tear out of me, that climactic scene, and I watched them like a day apart too.
Oh wow,
yeah,
that's a couple of days.
Yeah, I also watched, I think, like Jumanji 2. In there, which was
Murderer's Row.
One of those is not like the other. So,
but did you cry during Jumanji?
To be fair, none of those movies are like the others. None of them.
Jumanji 2 didn't quite.
Wasn't quite the tearjerker.
Not for lack of trying. It tried. It really went for. It really appealed to pathos. It just didn't do so effectively. Let me hit up on some other winners and categories we should mention. Phoenix takes Best Actor for his role in Joker.
Yeah, I mean, that was a given, I think.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't think that's misplaced. Or
I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of... Oh, go ahead. Give your thought.
Every single winner I'm going to be comparing to Jojo Rabbit because I loved it so much. And frankly, I mean, the little kid from Jojo Rabbit, amazing.
I wasn't nominated for Best Actor either.
I don't even know.
Is there an age limitation on whether or not you can be
a
nominee?
Anything, it's more impressive that he's a kid, that he did such a good job.
Best Actress, this is the pronunciation that I'm going to blow up. Renee Zellweger? Weeger is probably not it. She played the role of Judy.
Judy?
This is terrible. I don't know what it is. Yes. This is a film that was not. Actually, let me restart that sentence. This year's Oscars saw the same like 7 or 8 films in every single category, and this was an outlier to that. So good for her on rising above sort of the. Because there are a lot of good nominees for this.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson wasn't
for two different movies.
Marriage Story.
For two different movies, she could have won this. And so I have lost my list of Oscar winners. Talk about Hair Love for a second.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So actually, the first time it came onto my radar, my parents sent me like a link and were like, watch this. It's a short that's been nominated. I'm like, okay, cool. And, I mean, I guess I'm just going to confess everything that's made me cry ever, because it got me too. It was just, a good year, but... I was like, wow, and the fact that it can do it in 5 minutes is amazing. So that's how I first heard of it, and then it ended up winning, I think,
Best Short Film, which is I think a category they've named after, or at least like dedicated to, Kobe Bryant, because he won Best Animated Short Film with his The Love of Basketball or whatever.
Oh, that's really cool.
Piece in 2017.
That's cool.
That he wrote right after he retired based on his Players Tribune article. And that piece is awesome as well. But yeah, Hair Love definitely was a tearjerker. I hadn't heard of it until it actually won the Oscar, so I just like looked it up on YouTube. And
yeah,
I mean, I cried too in the 5 minutes, which is really, really good. If you have a chance to watch that, go see it. I can't like even really put it into words, but
it's just super simple and super heartwarming. Mm-hmm. Totally nails it. What else are we going to talk about?
Be thinking of what movies made you cry while I finish hitting up on some of these. Bong Joon-ho, the director of Parasite, we should mention, took home a lot.
I mean, Parasite.
Best original screenplay, best foreign language film. Han Jin-won got best original screenplay as well. That was split between both of them. They split the writing on that. Brad Pitt wins best supporting actor, which is super awesome. That being said, I do think DiCaprio was the highlight of that movie, but Brad Pitt was also great.
Yeah. Everything in that movie.
Everything.
So absolutely. Taika Waititi did win for Jojo Rabbit in best adapted screenplay. Yes. Toy Story 4, which I did not see, took best animated feature.
It was okay.
It was okay, it was says Chap. Movie. And 1917 got best sound mixing.
And best visual.
And did, best cinematography, which is what you are referring to.
Did The Irishman win anything? I know it was kind
it
of
was nominated for a lot, but yeah. I don't think that
Little Women was another one of the films that was nominated for a lot. And it won best costume design. And Ford versus Ferrari, which was another popular film in the nominees, took home best film editing. And so
I still haven't seen Ford versus Ferrari.
Lots of good, good things to watch with this year's list.
Yeah.
This is my favorite list of the popular nominees that we've had in a long time. And there's a lot of movies that didn't get any nominees that were also great that were pretty Oscar worthy. The first thing that comes to mind is Adam Sandler's film, which was a break from
Uncut Gems.
Yeah, which I want to see that more than any of the actual nominees that I haven't seen so far.
Yeah, that's all out on Netflix already in like every country but the U.S. So I'm thinking about
cool
changing that's my VPN number or whatever it is, trying to stream that illegally.
It'll be in like Spanish though. You
know, it's on Netflix in Canada, so I'm hoping that they didn't like dub that over or anything.
All right, boys. What films have brought you to tears? Jackson, you've already touched on this a little.
Yeah, actually a lot. This is
Well, I cry a lot during movies.
I do as well.
The movie that I cry at every time I see it, and it's one of my favorite movies, and I understand that it's bad, and I shouldn't like this movie.
But you can like bad movies.
It's The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, never mind. I take back everything that I was saying.
Interesting.
Is it the death?
It's the death because it's Emma Stone and because of how it happens.
It's just because of Emma Stone. Gwen Stacy doesn't matter at all. It's just
the grave scene montage after the death where like it shows Peter Parker going back to her grave like in every season for a year, and it just got me in the feels. And also I love Jamie Foxx, even though he wasn't good in that movie. I'll support anything that he does. Me and my friend Joel Holland, he's a cousin of the pod, cousin of Cardinal and Cream. We sat in that movie in high school, like, I think junior year, and we sat and sobbed when Emma Stone died, and our friends were making fun of us for it for weeks.
I definitely did not expect that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm in a bad streak right now of crying during movies that you're really not supposed to cry during. This has been going on for a while. It's a problem. And it started with Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet.
No. That's real. I was willing to give Chap credit for something, the Amazing Spider-Man 2, but there's no way Wreck-It Ralph...
I haven't seen
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
There's a scene in that movie, which isn't the greatest movie ever made, where she tells Ralph that they're not friends anymore. And I'm not going to lie, I don't know why it broke me. I don't know if it was because I was watching alone Netflix
based on that during break. That you have, we're not friends anymore.
That's fine. I'll stand by it. That little girl broke my heart as if I were Ralph when she said their friendship no longer existed. So I can't explain it.
Is that the type of movie you watch when you're like alone over breaks?
No, no. I just hadn't watched an actual animated film in forever. And I was like...
So you were like, I haven't seen this one.
And I was like, yeah. I remember watching the first one years ago. And I was like, that's kind of fun. And so I was like, yeah. I'll watch the second one. I'm bored. It was like a low day during break. And so I was like, I'll just play Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. And I wasn't prepared for the emotional toll that it would put on me in its story of friendship, which was very powerful.
I can't judge. I mean, I really can't. Toy Story 3 brought me to tears.
The other thing that breaks me is anytime Mark Wahlberg plays a dad. anytime Mark Wahlberg's a dad and something happens to his kids or... Just Mark Wahlberg as a dad. I just want Mark Wahlberg to be my dad. Not as much as my actual dad. My actual dad is a better dad to me than Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
But Mark Wahlberg is my choice for second dad. Because
give him his second best dad mug.
I honestly would. That'd be hilarious. But yeah, just whenever he's in a movie playing a dad, maybe not Daddy's Home. That might be the exception. But yeah, it just makes me cry. Just him reuniting, and he did a live action movie a few years back about the oil rig explosion that happened. Do we remember that movie at all? There's just a scene where he reunites with his kids at the end. That's the last time in a theater that I just bawled.
Wow.
Like legitimately bawled. I was like, he did it. He lived. He made it back to his children. Because Mark Wahlberg is probably an amazing dad. I hope so.
My ultimate Hollywood dad is Tom Hanks, only for the monologue he did on SNL back in, like, 2016, I think.
Tom Hanks is an uncle.
As America's dad.
Like, Tom Hanks is just an uncle of a guy, as opposed to a dad.
You're right, but go back and watch this monologue, Tom Hanks, America's Father, and you'll understand where I'm coming from, I think.
Are we talking about something that pulls at the heartstrings, as opposed to make you laugh, or a bit of both?
A bit of both.
Okay, I can see Tom Hanks pulling that off.
Yeah.
Can my Hollywood dad be Jack Black?
It can.
I just like Jack Black. That'd be cool.
Are we just naming people that we would be okay with being our Hollywood dads? Because after Mark Wahlberg, in third place for me is Steve Harvey.
Okay.
I would love to be that man's son. I just love Steve Harvey.
I feel like...
And I believe that there's a lot of wisdom underneath all that very, 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 very vague sense of humor that he uses.
I do Tupac, but... Steve Harvey does everything that our parents do that embarrass us, but like,
but it's to hilarious.
The nth degree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what you
it's
want.
It's hilarious
it needs
from
to...
the outside, but no. I don't know if you're his son. I feel like it would be too much.
I like more of an adoptive situation. Like he adopted me at 25.
Okay.
and so there wasn't actually the growing up years, just
okay.
you didn't, on paper after I'm on my own, like in my own life, Steve Harvey is my
You
dad.
Didn't grow up like tossing a ball around with Steve Harvey, but you go and visit
No, he
every
just
once
sends
a
check every once in a while. He's at the Christmas table on the other end.
Shouldn't that just be like great uncle or something?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I just want Steve Harvey to be a member of my family,
That's
I suppose.
Fine. That's fine.
Oh man. Are we still circling back to movies that made us cry, or are we moving on?
I think
I've already shared like 900 of mine.
So. Yeah, let's move on and keep with the rhythm of terrible segues and talk about SCJC a little bit.
Pods keeps like moving the mic closer and closer.
Yeah. Okay, so it's just a natural reaction of I have to do something with my hands, and so I just want to play with something, and so I want to spin it so bad.
Okay.
Which we can't do that.
If Daniel's voice just gradually keeps getting louder and louder.
It's because I'm slowly pulling it towards me, but it's not a power complex thing. It's not like let's get Daniel's voice more in there.
Okay.
Like,
I'm glad to know that.
No, it was not a purposeful endeavor. Give me the instruction manual. I'll play with that.
Okay.
SCJC, for those who don't understand, chap, you're the veteran. Explain it to the people.
SCJC is the Southeastern Journalism Conference. It's
the letters
conference
and
that
the they're in.
Union has been a part of for years, at least like since a few years before I got here. Well, basically every February they hold an actual event, a conference that we go to, and they have a bunch of different sessions that usually aren't super good, and then they have an award show and dinner, and more than anything, it's kind of just an excuse for us to take a vacation as like a journalism staff.
You don't lie.
That's what it seems like.
The staff goes, and then a few other people that are around the department, you know,
the staff.
Like a podcast host,
yeah.
Like Jackson, or a former
a chap.
Well, in this case, a Neil, but yeah.
Yeah. I replaced Neil Cole for this trip, but.
But yeah, this was me and Daniel's first trip to SCGC.
First rodeo.
So it was an experience.
It was
awesome.
An experience.
It was worth it. It was worth a recap.
Hattiesburg.
It was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which before the trip I would have told you to not go to, but turns out they have a bunch of killer restaurants.
The restaurant game was super, super strong.
Let's give a shout out to Sue's for that one.
Yeah,
she handled the food. Sadly, the worst. Not worst, but the food that wasn't as great was the stop we made at Starkville. And I was hoping Starkville would make a better showing. But
the bowling alley game in Hattiesburg is awful, though. don't go bowling there.
Actually, yeah, no, that's worse than eateries in Starkville. That that bowling alley was pretty... I'm going to remember it in a positive light.
Yeah, let's do that. There was some sketchiness to it, but at the same time, they were packed, so they're obviously pulling in some business.
That's true. It would have been one of those places.
There weren't a whole lot of
go there
options.
After a win. Go there after a win if you're
which
in
we did not.
Yeah. Don't go there after a
we
loss.
We went in there to take a second L. But it was fun nonetheless.
Yeah.
We had good times. Everyone was pretty high spirits. And throughout the weekend, which was true of kind of the whole weekend, everyone was in high spirits.
Speaking of high spirits, Nathan Chester.
What a guy.
Nathan Chester was the star of the entire weekend.
Good Lord.
Simply by saying sentences. Just stating what he had to say.
That's all it took
for him. I'm not even going to go down the list because without the context or lack thereof, you're not going to understand why.
I feel like we should give them at least one example.
Well, then you guys have some more conversation while I pick out some highlights.
Okay.
About Chester or just in general?
Talk about whatever you want. It's a podcast.
Okay.
Good old Nathan Chester. This guy, we had the ESPN showcase.
He's the feature editor for Cardinal Green.
Yeah, he is. We had the ESPN showcase for our basketball teams the other day. And he, and I guess some of the other dudes in his fraternity showed up shirtless, like with one letter each of Union across their chests. It was like we were at MTSU or something. And it was actually like super fun to see that like on ESPN Plus. Like, it's never going to happen again, which is perfectly fine with me. But the fact that it happened once is kind of a cool thing.
I actually missed that game. I had to work that night. I was super bummed out.
Oh, that sucks.
It does sound like...
It was an atmosphere that I cannot put into... It is unlike anything I've experienced on this campus.
Did you guys go to the game, the Elite Eight game, y'all's freshman year?
That was close.
Okay.
But this was a bit louder.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
No, it was
crazy.
The student section, which was full to the point that I wasn't even in it in the first game because there was legitimately nowhere to be. But through both games, the students stood the entire time, and it was
That's
loud.
Awesome.
And what led to this was, one, the women's team destroyed the number four team in the country, D2. And the men's game, we found ourselves down 46-26 at half. 24 of those 26 points coming from a single player, from Tyree Boykin. And in the second half, they brought it under 5 minutes to within a 2-point game. And you can imagine during that comeback how loud the gym was getting.
Yeah.
Sadly, it was not a win, but an amazing experience nonetheless. And I would give anything for that to be the day in, day out experience of the basketball games.
Yeah, and then it was 80% empty that next Saturday.
For another humongous game.
Yeah.
Which had the opposite results happen,
yeah.
Which is interesting. I've looked through these.
Chester quote on us.
None of them stand on their own without the context of the situation, because they're just so.
You just had
but
to be there.
All you need to know is that he gave his thoughts on everything from animatronics to Steak and Shake to Wendy's breakfast to
Steak and Shake really has that 50s diner. Thing.
Chuck E. Cheese, pillows,
nailed on the head.
Space Jam. And Chinese water torture.
Oh,
wait. Space Jam. I didn't hear Space Jam.
Some of these are from after SCJC. I've been keeping the list
okay.
up just during meetings. There's been some good ones. Today we were just having conversation. It got quiet, and Chester looks up and he goes, "Oh, sorry. I was just processing a random sin committed in fifth grade." Actually, oh no, I feel terrible. I just misremembered. He was speaking as if he was someone else. But haven't we all sat there and processed a random sin committed in fifth grade? Yeah, like I said, if you just start reading these on their own, it just gets bad real fast. So,
thank God for Chester, I think is the point of that.
We love Chester, and all of these moments in actuality were beautiful.
Yeah, very endearing.
If you get to meet and get to know anyone on this staff, I don't recommend me, I don't recommend Jackson, I recommend Chester. I do recommend Chap, because I'm not going to throw Chap under the bus, but I do recommend...
I'm not on the staff.
But I do recommend... I don't recommend me. I recommend Chester. I recommend Chester above everyone else. He did win.
Not that the rest of the staff is good.
As we talk about him, I do want to mention he did win. He took home 7th place for feature writing. Also, Naomi was 5th place in A&E, and Brent Walker was the number one magazine writer of the year. So let's give a shout out to our editor-in-chief for that, the one who allows this podcast to exist.
Mm-hmm. My roommate.
He earned it.
He sends us our checks. That's a lie. That doesn't happen. But
the magazine itself won stuff for like design and layout.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Don't want to mention that. Don't forget to mention that.
Won best animator for... or best illustrator for a magazine. And was it... Whoever did the design for the Bryce
and Nick
spread.
For photography.
Yeah. Nick for photography. Mm-hmm. Just a good group of editors this year.
Very much so. It was great.
How do we want to... What are we at time-wise?
Yeah, what time? When did we start?
It's at 28:05 right now.
Let's around 30 to 35 minutes. So.
We can make this one shorter, but let's pick a little thing to head out on, a little fast topic.
All right, cool. What are we thinking?
Hold on, I'm answering your Snapchat.
The ethicality of stealing things on campus that you've already paid for through your tuition.
Ooh. No. As much as I want to.
That they're not using anymore?
I just... So we just had a little
don't tell them
group meeting.
Don't tell them about the break and the just make it natural. I'll cut it all out.
So it's so much funnier if we reference the fact that we had a group meeting, because I wanted to segue in the fact.
Is it funnier if I just don't edit that out at all and they just hear us when we're not talking for the
100%?
I'll cut
Daniel's not even paying attention. He's
well, I was asked by one of my roommates if I was coming to Kobo. I said recording a pod. Thank you so. Which is not English. That is not correct grammar. And I just wanted to share that. And for someone who edits journalistic pieces that then get posted for the world to see, I have never sent a grammatically accurate sentence in a text in my entire life. And so I want everyone to know that is the truth. Do we have any closing thoughts from anyone else?
Chap? Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was good.
It was short. It was fast, but it was...
They always seem to fly by when they're good.
They really do.
Which means that every one of them has flown by, because we're right on the money every single time.
I do appreciate that you made the effort to land that. That was good.
That was more sarcasm. Like, I was trying to...
It didn't sound
reference
that.
The...
I couldn't tell. Oh. Tone was not decipherable.
My sarcasm
is that a word?
So elite.
Can you say decipherable? Is that a word?
Was that sarcasm?
Yeah, decipherable is a word.
Decipherable?
For today's outro, we're going to let our guest host, Michael Chapman, take us out.
Chap.
So, you have been listening to Logoria.
That is incorrect. That was the previous A&E podcast, and now we're never going to let Chap do that again.
Bum, 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 bum. Logoria.
Was that the outro for that podcast? Yeah. Wow. I won't give my thoughts
that
on
was,
that.
That's how we're ending it.
I like that.
That works. Good job. That was good.